Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
I've never been on live television before, but apparently sometimes I don't watch the news.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Because I'm a kid, and apparently Grandpa just gives me the remote after we watch the Powerball.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
We'll probably sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a Wednesday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
Hello. Ooh, NFL training camps. Boy, that's like a month away, my man.
We are creeping up on it. They're also announcing that you're not allowed to leave for training camps.
Yeah.
You see that report
yesterday?
Stay
in your city, because the Cowboys always do.
Let's go to California.
Oxnard, California.
Yeah, the Panthers, I think, usually go down to like someplace in South Carolina to some college. Can't do that anymore.
I think it was true or false. One of the question was, will the NFL have training camp before the leagues, any of the leagues play
before
again?
Games are played.
I wish I would have seen the NBA start date, because now I'm wondering if that's going to end up being true.
Now, when's the NHL start date? Have they announced that yet?
They were looking at July 27th was
kind
of the target.
I know.
Come on!
Yeah, they really want to get their ducks in a row here before they open anything back up. So
come on, man.
And camps are slated to open like July 18th-ish?
They said they weren't going to start before July 1st.
Right.
So I think there's more layers to this than we think. I think they've got to figure out, well, the NHL still needs to decide which two cities they're going to put people
in.
They haven't
cities.
Decided that yet. They got to decide who, in addition to players, training staff, coaches, is going to be allowed to come. Are they going to be able to bring some family with them or not? That still has to be finalized. Who all can get in? The bubbles that they're going to create. And then obviously, as you know, we've mentioned, some guys haven't done much of anything training wise at all. So they want some ample time to get in as close to game shape as they possibly can. Then you have the testing aspect. Do they have to be tested before they leave?
How
long does it take to distribute all those tests, get the results back, and determine if anybody can't go initially? So even though it seems like a long time before they can start playing games, I don't think they're being slow or lazy here.
Yeah, there's probably some validity
to
that.
Lazy.
I just want sports, damn it. Give me my sports. I want it on my TV.
That's a month and a half away.
Although, golf a week from tomorrow.
That's right, week from tomorrow. What tournament is kicking it all off?
The Colonial.
The Colonial, let's go.
I don't
let's
know
go.
Who the title sponsor is now, but yeah,
who
they'll
cares?
Be at
I'm
the
watching,
Colonial
baby.
In Fort Worth, Texas.
I'm
with,
watching, baby.
With no fans.
Nobody in it.
I don't really care about the golf fan thing.
I don't know.
You don't really need it. As long as you have that enhanced audio and you can hear the conversation between shots, man, it could be pretty damn entertaining.
You'll have five of the top 7 ranked golfers in the world
Let's
scheduled
go.
To be in the field.
I'm all over
we
that.
We should get Collins back on next week.
Yeah, I'm all for that. That'll be fun. One bit of good. I have two bits of good news here for this segment, okay? You ready for this?
Let's go.
I will start with the coronavirus good news. I feel like if this would have come out like 2.5 weeks ago, it would have been pretty monumental.
Okay.
But now it is gotten lost in the shuffle. I saw somebody, I didn't even see it on the news. And I was watching a little bit of news last night, doing some stuff around the house. I didn't really see it mentioned on the news. And then I saw somebody retweet it and I was like, huh, is that like fake news? What's going on here? And there's been a lot of different articles. This is on ABC News. Fauci, remember him? Remember Fauci?
I do.
Fauci,
yes.
Boy?
Yes.
So he came out and
he's got to be Times Person of the Year in 2020, right?
You think he wins the award? I mean,
well,
he's been...
Actually, it may change now,
it could change.
But prior to George Floyd, you would have probably picked him.
He would have been the man, yes, prior to George Floyd. He came out, was doing an interview yesterday, and he said that the U.S. should have 100 million vaccine doses ready to hand out to the American population by the end of the year.
100 million?
100 million doses.
Wow.
So, now I know some, including you, a little skittish about the first round. That's okay.
I've seen too many I Am Legend movies.
How many, what do we got in this country? 350 million? Where are we at right now?
387 or something.
Somewhere in that ballpark. You get second wave, bro. You don't have to be first waiver.
Sure.
You don't have to be the first guy onto the beach. You follow. You're second guy onto the beach.
Yeah.
But 100 million vaccines by the end of the year and the start of 2021. I thought that was pretty damn good news.
It's encouraging, but I feel like this kind of story has changed so many different times that I don't know if I'm fully in yet. I know Fauci is a guy, he gets a bad rap, but I think he's a guy that he's a scientist and a doctor. His opinion or what he says is always changing because his information changes. So I think people lose sight of that. This is good news. I was talking with somebody a while back and they know an individual who is in pharmaceutical sales. And their two cents, just as a sales rep that's been selling for a long time, is...
Okay.
Maybe the second or third vaccine is really going to be the one that nails this down.
It's going to be tough to hit it on the head the first time. No doubt about it.
Yeah, but it's encouraging news to hear. And I hope that timeline stays that way, because the last thing I think we want is the other side, which has kind of been, is this going to take 2 years for a good vaccine to finally be able to be sent out there and for people to be able to use. So it's at least encouraging that the vaccine is maybe capable of starting at the very end of this year.
Because I think a lot of people have wondered, like, when will everything go back to normal? And that's always been the answer, is when you get some form of a vaccine. Now, there's still a lot of, I mean, it's crazy stuff to read about, and it's way over my head and way higher than my pay grade. But I do know they're testing a lot of different ones right now in clinical trials, and then you up it, you go a couple, 1,000 people, 10,000 people, and you just see how it's kind of working. Here was his full quote on it, if you're wondering what he said. He said, quote, "We're going to start manufacturing doses of the vaccine way before we even know if the vaccine works, so that by the end of the year, the prediction of the statistical analysis and the projection of cases indicate that we may know whether it is effective." Don't know that word, or not, by maybe November, December, which means that by that time, we hopefully would have close to 100 million doses of it. He said, continued, "And by the beginning of 2021, we hope to have a couple hundred million doses. So it isn't as if we're going to make the vaccine, show it's effective, and then have to wait a year to rev up to millions and millions of doses. Mm. That's going to be done as we're testing the vaccine. So we're going to have a lot by the end of the year. We'll figure out if it's going to work and how effective it is." And he's saying a couple hundred million doses of it by early 2021.
I wasn't encouraged either. He did an interview a week ago or so. They have had no meetings internally.
No, this is no
at
longer
the national
an issue.
Level.
Yeah.
Which in like a couple weeks. Yeah. I think he said he hadn't seen
no biggie
the
anymore.
VP or the president in 2 weeks.
No biggie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope we're ready for the second wave. Like, collectively as a country, we'll be like, okay,
yeah,
it's back. We're out of commission for 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Or are we just going to go full Sweden and say, screw it, double middle fingers up?
Well, the Sweden one was...
Ride this thing out.
If you look at some of the numbers of Sweden, like, they were operating normally because they never sheltered in place.
Yeah, they just said, screw it.
But I think just recently there was a study done that their numbers were popping up.
Oh, for sure. I mean, they just kind of took the risk. They said people are going to die, so what do you got to do? We'll ride this one out.
Different to do in America because the population difference. But
especially in certain cities, a la New York, L.A., San Francisco, Seattle.
I'm curious what your second bit of good news is.
Second bit of good news. Now, this doesn't necessarily pertain too much to me and you, but it does to a lot of people out there. I have not followed this story very closely, but did you know that the MLS was close to a lockout?
Yeah, I saw a story today. Somebody had put out a message that they think they're going to get it done.
So they did. So the Players Association approved the proposal from the MLS just today related to the economics in 2020 and a modified collective bargaining agreement, which I believe runs through 2025.
Yep.
So they will no longer, they were threatening. I mean, a lot of owners apparently in the MLS were like, yeah, nah, we're going to lock you out. We don't really care. But then there were new owners in the league who were just getting teams started like, wait, what? I just bought a team and we're not going to play? This would have been devastating for the MLS because you want to stay on the forefront of people's minds. And it's not like they're making a ton of money with TV revenue, all that kind of stuff. So they need the money. And this that was big news. So, I mean, we're not the biggest of soccer fans, but for Portland sports fans, there you go. There will not be a lockout in the MLS.
It feels like the answer is as simple as they just need more money involved. I'm wondering at what point in my life the MLS is going to take that jump to go from super fringe National League and hyper local to NHL.
I'll tell you what wouldn't have helped. Yeah, was
well, the lockout's not helping.
If you would have had a lockout at this point, that would have killed the league.
Yeah.
I just like, what is this in the next? Is it feasible to say in the next 10 years that league can take that jump? Or is this just always going to kind of be viewed as double A soccer? You get a couple old legendary names, but that's really about it. And you're kind of a farm system.
It depends on how much they invest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I thought it would be.
Getting, back in the youth and their academies to go recruit top youthful athletes, convincing them to stay with soccer as opposed to playing basketball, football, baseball, whatever else. If they can get more.
Those revenues need to be bigger.
Special.
Or those contracts.
Yeah. But then you have to, if you can have more top young athletes develop in their systems, in their academies, and each MLS team has one, and then bring them up into MLS. They can get their start in professional soccer and MLS rather than feeling like if they're really, really good,
you got to go elsewhere.
They got to go to Europe or somewhere.
Yep.
It'll be a slow process, but it will. And then the other piece is eventually those players feed into USA soccer and they start to have more success on the international stage. And it's a long ways out. It's not going to happen in 5 to 10 years.
And a lockout would have been pretty devastating
that
to that progress.
That would have set them back.
Yeah, it would have been devastating for the league.
Yeah.
Who knows how long. So the MLS Players Association, they released a statement today, say the players ratified a new CBA, which will run through the 2025 season. Today's vote also finalizes a plan to resume the 2020 season. It provides players with a certainty for the months ahead. It also allows our members to move forward and continue to compete in the game that they love. So it sounds like they also now are close to arriving in the next couple of weeks in Orlando. They're going to do the same thing as the NBA. They're also going to be on the Wide World of Sports complex.
Well, it's a huge complex. Keith Smith said
Walt Disney World.
He said somebody asked about the MLS because he knows Disney World really well. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's the one that kind of put this whole thing in motion. He said they could do the MLS, have plenty of hotel space, and they're on the opposite side of the park. Yeah. From the NBA. So you're having two leagues show up.
Isn't it crazy how big that space is?
It's bigger than Manhattan. It's ginormous. So you can have an MLS and you can have an NBA there and none of them are by each other.
I also chuckled too that part of Woj's statement today was the fact that the players would be allowed, they still have to social distance, of course, but they're allowed to like go out and eat in restaurants on the facility, on the campus. And also they're allowed to play golf. Because, you know, there's golf courses on the campus, too. I chuckled that was a part of the thing, that like you get a day off and guys are going to go out and go golfing. So good news for the MLS, man. A lockout would have been devastating if you're a soccer fan and the growth of the sport and trying to progress in a more relevant into a more relevant league in America. They were on the brink of a lockout, and I hadn't really followed that story or seen much on it, but they approved the new CBA today that will now allow them to finish not only this season, but it runs all the way through in 2025. So good news for soccer fans, and it sounds like we're going to have some doses of a vaccine by the end of the year. So nothing but good news in that segment. Let's get to your favorite segment, stat or story next on The Fan.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls. So that's 7,107.32
boobs. Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible in this you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Bert and Sprague on 1080.
Come on, do math.
The Fan.
That's right, folks. Stat or Story time. Hey, should the higher-seeded team in the returning NBA postseason have some form of advantage? 503-250-1080. That is the Fan text line. We'll get to that coming up bottom of the hour. We have a poll question on it as well. At Turton Sprague and at 1080. The Fan.
How would our opinions feel on this if Portland was one of the top seeds?
A listener pointed that out because we have a poll question on it, and you can go ahead and guess what the responses have been so far. And somebody correctly pointed out, imagine if Portland was a top four seed, the poll results would be drastically different. But we'll get to that coming up at 2:30. Stat or Story, what do we got today?
Your first number, 40,721.
Oh, come on.
40,721.
Is it the number of minutes played in regular season and playoff games by Wes Unseld during his NBA career? Or is it the cost of construction of a new food cart the owners of Higgins Restaurant have commissioned to use this summer to sell lunch and dinner items around the Portland Historical Society Plaza?
I'm going to go story.
How many minutes does an average player play per year? I have no frame of reference in my mind.
I am the wrong person to ask that question.
Like, I have no clue where to even begin. I know you...
Well, I'm going to look up a player.
You guys have been
doing
more reading of late. You guys like actually knew stuff last week, so I had to go a little deeper this week.
Hold on, so I'll give you an idea. I'm just looking up LeBron here. Okay, just LeBron. I'm not looking up anybody else.
Yeah, let's not go to Kawhi.
No, LeBron on average, he's at 38 minutes per game. That's 82. So whatever that is times 82.
That's a little over 3,000.
Andrea, he's one of the higher playing.
How many years do you think he played?
Unseld?
15 years?
Unseld was 13-year career, I thought. Looked that up yesterday.
Stat.
That's a good guess. I like that.
It's a stat. That's right.
There you go.
40,721.
Thanks for the help on that.
He played roughly 36,000 of those in regular season games and about 4,000 or so in the postseason.
A lot of minutes.
This story comes to us from OregonLive.com. No, so Higgins.
I totally misinterpreted that stat.
Did you?
I don't know why, but in my mind, because I was thinking of that, I thought he said playoff games. And that seems way too high,
but I
didn't want to say that.
No chance.
But yeah, this is good news. This story is great news.
So Higgins, obviously, looking at its 20th anniversary.
I've never been.
It's a classic.
Driven by it a million times. I've never been.
They have commissioned $50,000, a cart being built by PDX Cart Builders that they hope to have ready to go sometime this summer in July. It'll be called Piggins.
Awesome.
It'll have ivy green, cedar paneled cart, up to the spacious plaza just outside the currently closed Oregon Historical Society. All the restaurants are trying to figure out how can they expand their ability to serve people who want their food. So they'll do lunch and dinner. So lunch, they are looking at farm salads, house charcuterie boards, sandwiches by the day. Evening, it'll be grilled hanger steak, fingerling potatoes. They'll have a grass-fed Carmen Ranch beef burger all throughout the day and much more to come. So
hanger steak is underrated.
They're trying to see what they can do with the OLCC about... having alcohol service so they can have wine and cocktails for you as well.
Boy,
so
have we bundled that as a state during this whole thing.
Yeah, totally.
The alcohol situation here has been so stupid.
Well, there's some specific items in the way that the laws are written. They had to have Congress or the legislature come back and
ratify the laws.
She wouldn't call a special session.
Just for booze. She should have, though.
Well, she should have.
Come on. Yeah, that getting the chance to eat out when we were down abandoned back at a restaurant for the first time since all of this shut down, it felt so good.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like just to have sit there, enjoy a meal, enjoy company, had a cocktail while you're
good ass meal good, too.
Like,
by the way,
a good meal. Like, God, that felt so good, man. I don't know where counties. I think phase two is for the most part. A lot of restaurants are starting to get there, but as we get more and more opening back and up, that's a main thing of mine is help them out, keep them open, and go eat out.
Health board and OLCC is working through the permitting process to allow them to go outside and take advantage of space, parking. Yeah. Sidewalks, those sorts of things. So that's all being, they're trying to go through it as fast as possible. Your next number is 22. 22. Is it the total number of NBA playoff games in which Wes Unseld collected 20 or more rebounds?
I'm sensing a theme today.
Wes Unseld theme.
Or is it the number of oversized teddy bears at Dutch amusement park strapped into their new roller coaster and filmed on the ride for a video to announce that they are reopening?
Now, I saw the video.
I didn't know the number.
How many does a normal, like, what do you call them? How many do they hold usually? How many people?
The roller coasters?
Yeah, because there's a bunch of different of those little two-person cars that are stuck together.
Isn't it usually around 30, 40?
Because it looked like it was full of teddy bears. So if it only holds 22, then that's a... So 22 playoff games with 20 rebounds or more. That's a lot of games with 20 rebounds or more.
So that means there would have been like 11 carts. So, did it look like that many? Or did it look like it was more? It
looked like that many. I'm going to go story. Which means it's going to be a stat.
I'm actually going to...
That seems like too much, though. I'm going to miss on that, too. But that's a lot. 22 games with 20 rebounds?
In the postseason, right?
Just in the postseason.
Just in the playoffs.
See, but he played a long time, and here's my thinking. I'm going the other way. I think it was more because he was a beast. So, I'm going to take the dirt approach here.
20 rebounds in 22 games, Sam.
Well, you got to think about his era.
Okay.
I'm going story as well.
It's a story. Wes Unseld had 24 playoff games of 20 or more rebounds.
Dude,
and he had a handful
beast.
Of 30 rebound
Dear
games.
Lord.
Yeah.
Dear Lord.
So he went to the finals, was it four times in his NBA career?
I think it was four, yeah.
So,
games.
Yeah, they made some deep playoff runs. This comes to us from the Huffington Post. And the Dutch theme park, Walibi Holland... Walibi Holland, not sure how they're pronouncing that. 22 oversized teddy bears onto their roller coaster ride that's called Untamed. It has 5 inversions. A 116-foot drop reaches maximum speeds of 57 miles per hour. This is according to Coaster Grotto, which is an online database tracking roller coasters and theme parks around the world. So they had a little thing. Looked like the bears were all enjoying themselves as they're letting everybody know that they are hoping to be open very, very soon here, coming back from how they're dealing with things over there. So, the teddy bears, though, they kind of look like Ted.
Yeah, yeah. It looked like, too, if you not seen the video.
I haven't seen this
yet. It's kind of funny. It looks like they're alive, like when you watch it, because their heads are moving and their arms are moving.
They kind of get thrown back a little bit.
It looks like there's a bunch of live teddy bears that are sitting on a roller coaster. It's kind of funny. Very enjoyable to watch. Yeah, they're just flapping around in the wind, man. We're open.
So would that get you more likely?
Can I take a roller coaster ride with a teddy bear?
You want to go with a teddy bear?
I think you should.
Yeah.
All right, your final number, 1,919,968.
How many games Wes Unseld played?
Now we're going somewhere else.
Okay.
1,919,968. Is it the total value of the 4-year rookie contract former Oregon State wide receiver Isaiah Hodgins signed with the Buffalo Bills, 6th-round draft pick?
Just shy of 2 million.
Or is it the cost in euros that Estonian entrepreneurs have listed an island and are attempting to sell to neighboring Latvia, a country that does not have a single island within its borders?
That an island has to be more expensive than that, right?
Does it?
1.9 million for an island?
I saw a thing on islands, people that buy islands.
Yeah.
There's actually a lot more out there that and not as many people want to buy them as you think, because you have a lot.
Well, they have to be accessible. You don't want one in the middle the middle of nowhere. You can't get to it.
Okay, but he's a 6th-round pick. Does that sound about right? Isn't it like a 4-year deal, usually? Can you tell us if it was a 4-year deal?
4-year deal.
He says 4-year deal.
4-year rookie contract.
For almost $2 million.
I'm going to say it's actually...
That sounds about right on an average scale, right? Isn't the average?
I'm going to say it's less than that. I'm going to go, well, no, that does sound right. I'm going to go stat. Yeah.
Because it'd be about, isn't it 425? 425 is the average minimum.
Yeah, an island has to cost more than that. Final answer.
Okay, so you went stat. Just for my own mental benefit.
Dude, if islands are going for 1.9, man, I'm going to go win the lottery and start gobbling up some islands.
Again, this is in euros. I don't know what the euro is trading at.
Oh, it's higher than the dollar, isn't it?
Sure, but not. I mean, it's not like we're talking a 8 times the difference here.
I'm going to go stat. I think it's his contract.
Double stat. Wow.
Isaiah Hodgins, idiot. Total value if you're he goes all 4 years is $3.453 million.
So the minimum's like 550?
Yeah, the fourth year, if he gets it, his base salary would be over $1 million.
Ah, okay.
Jeez, so it might
Plus, he gets a modest signing bonus that they prorate over it as well.
Dude, he's a... That's not bad cash for a six
now,
round pick.
I don't know. Obviously, six round. Years. I don't know how much of it's guaranteed.
Oh, probably not a lot
after the first year. Yeah. This comes to us.
Damn it! Why did I guess the same thing as you?
This comes to us from Estonian World. An Estonian's marketing stunt. There's a little islet. They call it. Estonia has over 2,000 islands within its borders. So they said if every Latvian invested 1 euro, the country would have its own island, Virelaid islet, between the island of Saaremaa and mainland Estonia.
Sure.
They want to sell it for 1.919 million euros. And it's for a Latvian who's interested in privatization of the island.
I think you trying to say the island properly screwed you up.
Yep. You totally did.
So they say it's a 3.5 hour drive from Riga. You can only get to it by boat. And let's see, what are some of the things? There is a family. There's 7 houses located around a working lighthouse. There's a family house with 8 rooms, 3 fireplaces, a seminary house with a bar, a sauna, a jacuzzi, an outdoor pool, a worker's house, a chapel for weddings, a wine cellar that they claim has enough wine that you would not have to go to the wine store for a year.
Well, how much wine do they think I drink?
The island also boasts 32% more sunny days than the rest of Estonia. Rain is rare there. It's home to 1,000 sheep, 2 hares, a fox, 3 chickens, and a rooster.
Mmm. I've always wanted to try fox.
You want to eat a fox?
Yeah, why not? It eats other things.
I'd rock with that island. Now, somebody said islands suck. You have to install all the electricity, sell equipment, gasoline, natural gas, roads, buildings. Well, first off,
I'm
buying...
Well, sounds like I think it's there. I think it's they're developed for those things.
First off, I'm buying an island that I don't need roads on. You know, I don't want a ginormous island. I just want my own island that I can put my stuff on.
In the winter, when it's frozen, you can walk out on the ice from...
No, thanks.
No,
I'm still
thank
not doing
you.
So it's a 10-minute ride by speedboat.
I'm not doing that.
I want an island where all I need is a golf cart.
Yeah, and I don't want a cell tower. Give me electricity, whatever. But I don't need to use my cell phone on my island. That defeats the whole purpose.
So you want to have like underwater fiber optic lines?
Yeah.
Back to the mainland.
Yeah. How badass would that be?
That's a pretty baller thing to say. Hey guys, you want to go to my island?
I own an island.
I own an island. What would you call your island?
Fight Island.
Oh God.
So yeah, it's 200. It's roughly 200 acres.
What about Dirt Ho? You know, like they see land Ho. No, that one fell flat.
The name of your island is Dirt Ho. What's the name of your boat that you use to get to your island? Dirt Pimp. Dirt Pimp docking into Dirt Ho.
I think we just discovered something. I'm buying an island, man. If I win the lottery, I promise you guys, I'll buy an island.
Swag,
okay?
What would you name your island if you had one?
Swagland.
No.
Swagland.
I don't
Lando
know.
Lando Swag.
Lando Swag.
I'd have to ponder that one.
Steve?
No, it wouldn't be named Steve or Fred. No, it would have to be. There would have to be serious thought put into naming your island.
What's a great island name? 503-250-1080. I want to know what people come up with on that. Because I don't know what the proper Boats are interesting because you can do so many different. You can do names. You can do funny phrases. You could do
Bodie McBoatface.
Puns. Yeah, you can do all kinds of things. I think
Swagistan.
There's Swagistan.
That's pretty good. Somebody said you call my boat the dirty dinghy.
Wow. Swagistan is quite an interesting pick. Where are you going this weekend, Swagistan?
What? Where's that?
Yeah,
I would just want enough room on my island for one golf hole. And I would just play it over and over and over again.
You wouldn't want like two or
but
three?
I don't need that big of an island, but you build in different tee boxes and like different greens.
Yeah, but if you had like a whole bunch of different tee boxes so you could have like par three lengths to that.
I think I want like...
Yeah, a couple of different greens so you can have like a bunker on one side, maybe play over the water.
Yeah, there you
go. You what my,
another part of it.
Now we're talking.
I tell you what my golf course isn't having, bunkers.
You had no bunkers?
Yeah. If it's my golf course...
It's an island though. There's sand right there.
Yeah, so you hit on the beach, you're screwed.
You can have a waste area. Maybe I just go with the Isle of Swag.
Let me ask you this.
Isle of Swag.
You hit into it, I think, one or two times. I don't think you did because I didn't. What were the green bunkers like? Like, I know it looked easier to get out of than sand, but you were in some difficult situations.
Yeah, I was in some difficult ones. They still had lips like regular bunkers. And even though it's grass, the base of everything is sand. So it was kind of like those waste areas that like DJ and Ricky at Seminole were hitting out of, even though it's not like a sand bunker that's raked. There's a couple of them I probably would have preferred it. I could have gotten out a little easier, but... Yeah, they were not. And then if you get in with the long, wispy grass that grabs the hosel of your club, then you're just hooped.
Yeah. Tanner said I'd name my island The Place to Be. The Place to Be. What do we call this place? What was it? What was the name? The Place to Be.
The Place to Be.
That's where we're going. Okay, hey, should the higher seeded team in the return of the NBA have some form of home court advantage? Because apparently that is being argued for. And a Blazer is against it, shockingly. We'll get to that next. Hey, welcome back in. 2:38. Looks like the rain's coming back next week.
Well, it's still summer rain, though, right?
It's still summer rain. Somebody said Sprague wouldn't want to splurge for the large island. The medium island would be just right. Maybe have some pineapple trees on it or something.
A little pineapple plantation?
Yeah, pineapple tree on there. You don't need a large island. Just need medium. That's all you need, man.
You guys know I love pineapple, and I take a medium-sized island. I'm all in on that idea.
Don't need no large island.
Medium-sized boat to get to that medium-sized island.
That's all you need, man. Medium everything. Let's get to this. So the NBA announced today... It's going to be officially approved tomorrow, but their plans are now out. 22 teams going, including Portland. We talked about it a lot earlier in the show. They're all going to play 8 regular season games. And this, I think people are just excited, man. Like, here we go. We got the format. This is going to be awesome. Well, apparently, there are some teams in the NBA that are arguing we should get something out of this, meaning there will be no home court advantage. Usually, if you're a top 4 seed, of course, you get home court advantage in the first round. You get potentially home court advantage after that. Maybe you have the number 1 overall record in the NBA. Is that the Lakers or the Bucks? Bucks?
Bucks.
Bucks. Yeah. So they would get home court advantage if they reach an NBA Finals against the Lakers. Like, that's a big impact, man. You get a Game 7 on your own floor.
Milwaukee's a hostile environment to play in,
too. Tough place to go play. You get to start the Finals on your own floor. Conference Finals starting on your own floor, right? So they're saying, well, hold on here. We played almost 70 games, and now we're just going to go play a neutral site. We don't get anything for that. So teams with better records are now arguing we should get something out of this. Here are some of the ideas that they floated out according to sources on ESPN. Let me know how you feel about any of these, okay? These are replacement ideas for home court advantage. The higher seeded team is awarded the first possession of the second, third, and fourth quarters following a traditional jump ball to begin the game.
Okay.
Get 3 extra possessions.
Sure.
Okay.
That's the kind of advantages we're looking for here.
The higher seeded team is allowed to designate one player to be whistled for 7 fouls instead of 6 before fouling out.
Rolo!
Right?
Rolo! You got 7.
Whoever your goon is on the team, just give him an extra foul. The higher seeded team would receive an extra coach's challenge.
Okay.
Instead of the whatever they normally get, like 2 if you win
a game
or something.
Higher
seeded team being able to transport their actual hardwood home court to the arenas to preserve the feel of their home playing experience.
That's stupid, but
That's going to take more people. That one's going to be tossed out by the medical protocol. That won't even make it anywhere.
And then last but not least, an off-court feature in which playoff teams in order of seeding 1 through 16 receive first choice on the pick of the hotel in which they want to stay at.
That's the one I'd die on that hill if I was the number one overall seed.
You want to pick the hotel first?
The rest of it doesn't make a difference.
I'm okay with the foul. You can want one player to have 7 fouls, whatever. That's not going to impact the game all that much.
And neither would the possession thing.
No.
That's a pretty simple thing of just saying, all right, you're the highest seeded team. We do a jump ball to start the game, and then whoever's the higher seeded team gets the...
It's 3 possessions out of 250.
Yeah. So it's not a huge deal.
I see the fight here.
The team, I would the hotels, because you know there's one or two that are way nicer and botcher than everyone else.
There are, but you're still talking about these pro athletes are going to have the best of the best, but... I mean, I see the understanding behind the thinking here, but none of these ideas to me are transformative and change the impact in if you win or not. Now, what I do feel bad for is all the fans that are great that can't go to these games. Like if Milwaukee is to run through the Eastern Conference, that sucks.
When was the last time Milwaukee was in an NBA Finals?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Yeah, they haven't been in one since, have they?
No, after they won it.
I'm trying to remember if all those Don Nesslin teams in the late finals. 70s, early 80s, they always would lose to the Sixers or the Celtics.
Yeah, but I don't...
In the East.
Those Glenn Robinson teams?
I'm going back to the 80s. Terry Cummings, Junior Bridgman, Marcus Johnson...
They were good, but I don't think they did.
They couldn't get past the Sixers and the Celtics at that time. They'd lose to them in the Eastern Conference semifinals.
Went to the finals in 70-71, 73-74, and since then, they've made the conference finals in the 80s, conference finals in the 80s, couldn't get through. They made a conference. They lost the conference finals. That was the team I was thinking. In 2000-2001, they lost in game 7 to Philly. The 76ers went, and they went, of course, to the conference finals last year. So, no, they have not been in an NBA finals since they won.
No. They lost in 73-74.
Yeah, so that was the last time they were in it, 73-74.
Yeah, so you think about the fan base in that regard, you feel really bad for them because they have that great chance. And look, there's just so many unknowns. It does suck for the teams that played their asses off and got to this point. But there's just another part of me that can't help but say, really? Suck it up, Buttercup. Everybody else is dealing with the same circumstance. You don't think Oklahoma City doesn't want to play or doesn't want some advantage because now they don't get to play in front of their fans? Portland, Memphis, even the fringe playoff teams. There's a lot of them that have great fan bases. They're not going to get any of this. So if really putting different wood down is going to dictate whether you win or lose,
having your logo at center court,
you're probably not destined to win a championship. What I'm more interested in is the timeline of the next season starting, because if this thing does go into October for the finals, I can't fathom they're starting in December, because if they do, 8 of the 30 teams would have almost a year off, and 22 would have just 2 months. That's a huge difference between rest. So I wonder how that's going to play a factor here. I don't blame them for bringing it up. I just think it's going to be things like hotel, and that's kind of about it.
That seems pretty reasonable. You give them the best hotel rooms. I'm okay with that. One Blazer was against this. We'll tell you what he had to say. We also have poll questions on it that we'll update on the other side. Also, what should they do for those teams that aren't going to Orlando? Because there's a small number of teams that are not, 30 NBA teams, right?
30.
Right. So you got 8 teams that aren't going to Orlando. What should they do for those teams in the meantime? We'll close up there next on the fam. Great idea here at the fan text line. Again, 503-250-1080. Somebody said, final idea for the Bucks to get the advantage on their final possession. They get one play, 4th and 15 from their own 25-yard line. Thoughts? I like that.
Well, you got one of the best quarterbacks in the NBA in Giannis Antetokounmpo.
He's got those long arms, man. He could complete a pass.
Well, he could probably just take 2 steps, 15 yards, and dunk it. So I think you're okay.
Tanner said, when I put my wood down, I always have home court advantage.
Tanner, stop lying. I mean, come on. We all think that.
CJ McCollum had this to say. So Dave McMiniman, friend of the show, was the one who I think reported this for ESPN. CJ McCollum took to Twitter, said, extra possessions, LOL. Either you're good enough to win or you're not. The end. To which somebody responded, OKC Thundercover on Twitter. Big fan of that Twitter handle. OKC Thundercover. Said, you guys are going to finish the season under 500 with a shot to make the playoffs. A gimmick play and may get you in. Don't think it's time to be mocking creativity.
Can they? If they play 8 games, they would finish... If they go 8-0, where would they be?
If they go 8-0, they'd be above 500, but they are. Let me double check.
I didn't know what the record was.
I believe they're 4 games below. No. Yeah, they. Wow.
Aren't they like 9?
If they go, they have to go 8-0 to get to 500. They're 29 and 37. Is my math right there? My math's right there.
Yeah.
They're 29
yeah.
and 37. Yeah. So they would have to go undefeated to finish the season at 500.
Yeah. And that's not going to happen.
And that would just get them the 8 seed, and then they'd have to play in the play-in thing.
I'm not going to subscribe to anything Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm not a fan of that franchise, and they shouldn't exist. But
his point is valid, though, right?
That is a very good response. It's like, we're doing what we can to get the NBA back. Deal with it.
Right. You're playing under a unique circumstance that might allow you a chance to get into the playoffs, which they could capitalize on because they could be within 4 games of Memphis and then win the play-in thing to get into the postseason.
Would you prefer them to have done a mini tournament to figure out 9 teams in each conference and then send 18 to Orlando, play 8 games and see if 8-9 can fight for the 8 seed versus 5 extra non-playoff teams in the West?
Ultimately, it's tough to accomplish because you have, like, just if you look in the Western Conference, for example, you have 3 teams that are all tied.
That's what I'm saying is, like, Portland,
New Orleans, Sacramento are all tied, and then San Antonio is only a half game behind them.
I don't know. You do like a one game elimination. You do like a mini tournament.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. I'm also not. I mean, I'm okay with this format.
Well, I am too. I'm just noodling on ideas.
I'm looking. If you look at it from a Blazer angle, you love it because they got a chance to make it. I also don't think it would have been that controversial to take the playoff teams, allow them to play a couple of warm up scrimmage kind of games, jump right into the postseason.
It's just going to be such an odd thing to watch NBA games without fans, without any noise. What, I don't know if they'll pipe in noise or whatever. I'm sure they'll somehow still do music. You know, defense. Like, they'll just play that sound, but nobody will be chanting it.
Right.
Watching them play, the momentum, home team doesn't matter now. Like, doesn't matter if it's a white jersey or a colored jersey. None of this is important anymore. That stuff it matters in the playoffs, in any sport.
Yeah.
But NBA is one of those that I fully subscribe. Home court's a big deal. You get 19 to 20,000 people behind you.
Cheering, going crazy.
You sleep in your own bed. Right. All of that has been eliminated now. So it's like, we really could have Laker Bucks, Clipper Raptors, or it could be completely a wild card and some teams can't handle or play well without that home court advantage.
It'd be really interesting to see how it impacts it. I've seen some people float the idea, now I doubt it happens, but of running music during the game. And that could be a home court advantage of allowing the home court team to pick the music that they want to play during the game. Now, I don't think it'll happen because there's a lot that goes into that and the rights and all that kind of stuff. But
do they still do like the charge horn?
Well, no, like you just put, like, let them pick just normal. Yeah, you don't need a charge horn. You don't need a defense chant. Just play music underneath, you know, like normal song. You pick whatever artist you want.
But they have to do the edited version of that.
You would have to do the edited version of it. Yes, you would. You mentioned, though, how this plays for teams that aren't going. So those teams are not happy, apparently.
Hmm.
They include Atlanta, Cleveland, Charlotte, and Detroit. Although one listener pointed out at the text line, put them in the stands and make them watch so they see how real ball is played. That one made me chuckle a little bit. They apparently have already begun a dialogue with the league because they're saying, wait, hold on here. We stopped in the middle of, or early to mid-March, and now we're floating the notion of maybe not beginning next season until January.
That's what I don't get about this timeline.
You're going almost close to an entire year without playing any serious basketball. They apparently, according to Woj and other folks at ESPN, are in talks with the league about starting something that would look like a fall league. And my guess would be it would replace the summer, because you're obviously not going to have a summer league this year, that it would replace the summer league. Where you do it, how you pull it off, I don't know. But give them chances to essentially go play scrimmages with whatever guys want to show up and go play. And I guess whoever wants to be a part of that. One listener did point this out, though, and I actually really like this idea, and they should have added this into the weekend. Now, it adds more people and more complicated, but they should have had a tournament for the bottom 8 seeds for the number 1 pick.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Wouldn't that have been awesome?
But, yeah,
Golden State would have won it, but
given, well, you think Golden State would have won?
If Steph's going to play, like they, if they're back healthy,
maybe they would have won that. Yeah, they're playing. Yeah, it's hard to pick against them. It just sucks that it's COVID is the only reason that stopped that. Because I'd love to see this as a regular thing. I understand sometimes you're dealt a bad hand. You get a superstar that leaves, and you were barely even good with him. I would love to see teams fight for the number one pick versus just saying, hey, crappy team.
Seems like a good year to do
that. Here's your first pick.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, here's your chance. Go play.
Or three crappy teams. Sure. Here's your better odds lottery system. I'd love to watch playing for it.
And dude, if you would have put that tournament on with the eight teams that aren't going, I would have watched that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, who's gonna win the number one overall seed?
Look, Dirt, I told you this. I'm watching anything. When the hockey comes back on, I'm not going to follow every second, but I will be watching hockey.
You want me to live stream my golf rounds for you so you can watch them?
No,
okay, not that far.
No. I said, like, great sports.
Okay, too soon.
Look, an 85 is good with us, but...
it's not that good. Not that good. Hey, Blazers, one of the teams that are going to Orlando, we sounded it out for you. Will they make the playoffs? 66% of you say yes. They have to finish within four games of the eight seed and then win a play-in. And then the NBA trying to come up with potential benefits for the higher-seeded team. 75% of people say there should not be any form of home court advantage, which I guarantee you would be flipped if Portland was one of the top four seeds. Imagine if Portland had a year like Milwaukee this year and the league got shut down. You had the best record in the league. How pissed would we be?
Well,
it gets back to your point. You feel bad for Milwaukee.
Well,
man,
that clock's ticking on a Giannis extension.
Right.
So it would be a year where nothing happened. Would he hold that against you as like, oh, we didn't win the title any of my years?
That'd be brutal.
So.
Brutal. There you go. Good little show. If you miss any of it, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. Hope everybody out there is doing all right. Enjoy the sunshine if
you can. Love each other.
Love each other. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.